The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Nora's one of those people who will always hold a big place in my mind. She wasn't your average 92-year-old lady. At the conclusion of the service today, we're going to be gathering in the Orange Hall to share our remembrances of Nora and to talk with the family, and the family would love it if you'd all come over. So if you can possibly stay, please do. Thanks for coming today to share with the family your celebration of Nora's life. And a special warm thank you to the staff of Homewood. I saw you come in a little while ago. But your care for Nora has been above and beyond the call of duty, a long way above and beyond. Terribly appreciated. There was a tremendous joyful enthusiasm of everything Nora did, especially anything that would engage her faith. When there was exuberant music or exuberant praise, Nora would want to get right up the front near the speaker so she could really immerse herself in it and enjoy it. There was a consistent joyful caringness in her eyes. When she talked to you, there was something behind the eyes, a twinkle of humour and a total delight in her worship and an energetic engagement in anything that was going on about her faith and the work and the faith of the church. She loved the people who walked the faith journey with her, and she encouraged them in whatever they did. There was something of Christ about her in the humour that seemed to twinkle just below the surface. It melded with the compassion and the love and the encouragement that she had. There's a prayer that Jesus prayed. It's recorded in John 17. And he prays, "Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory." And that seemed to me to be lived out in Nora, because I always felt that where Nora was, Jesus was there with her. And I expect that same reality is at work right now. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for people like Nora who live your presence, who bring you into the church, the house, the retirement home, the excursion, who know your living presence and make it known. Thank you for her witness of love and care. Thank you for her faithfulness and encouragement to walk the journey with you. Thank you for the faith that you gave her that she so delighted in. Thank you for the love and the compassion that brought our Saviour Jesus to this world, infecting it with his holiness, his love, his renewal. A love so delighted in and so exemplified in this lovely lady. We come this afternoon with gratitude for the hope you've given us and the sign of that hope in the life of Nora Ford. Amen. Nora loved to sing the praises of the Lord. The livelier the better, it seemed. But she also delighted in the majesty of the ancient words of praise to God. And now with Nora, we join in the praise of her Lord and ours, Jesus Christ, in that beautiful song, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds."
Thank you.
The Christian faith holds this, that in our living the Spirit of God is given to all who commit themselves to following Jesus with heart, soul, mind and will. We understand through Jesus that God is love and grace. And to all who open their lives to the presence of God, there is grace, complete forgiveness for those things that we're truly sorry for. Renewal as day by day and experience by experience, the Spirit of God remolds us piece by piece into the image of Christ who lives in us by his Spirit. The Christian faith holds this, that this journey is an eternal journey, that the relationship we forge with God while our feet are made of this fallible, infinite material is an eternal relationship, and Jesus, the friend and companion who walks with us in this mortal part of our eternal journey, transcends our finite limitations and walks with us the next part of that eternal journey. Still our friend, still our strength, still our guide, but seen much more clearly than we see him now. These are the hopes that transform this moment from a service of mourning for a person who is no more into a celebration that has been of a life that's been lived full of grace and goodness and love, and a celebration that this reality is not obliterated by the inevitable wearing out of this mortal fabric that we have to live through. But it goes on in a way that we can't see, we can only hint at. As I understand it, Nora has always walked with Christ, and she now walks with the risen Christ, her well-known and her trusted friend. And we thank God for that reassurance and that faith. We thank God for who she's become in her life. We thank God for what she has become in her death and in her resurrection. And the God who holds her now alive in God's love and compassion holds you who have loved her dearly. We're going to celebrate that hope in three songs that Nora loved. And many of the songs that we're singing today here were songs of celebration that were chosen for Nora's 90th birthday. We're going to sing Great Is He, King of Kings, and My Jesus, My Saviour. Songs that Nora would have just loved to have been here to sing with us.
Hi, this is Judy on Saturday morning. Just saying that we're thinking of Google Box today and sorry we can't be there. We've got some really happy memories of Grandma and the girls enjoying the food photo album and singing for a picture summer. Hope you all have a great celebration of her love together today. And we'll see you soon in the summer.
We read first from John chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus as he comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
Those words were read to Nora on the last day of her life. They were in her Bible, they were underlined in her Bible, and she knew that peace, an important peace that comes only from knowing Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And she was utterly convinced of his power to keep her safe through the end, right through that final day. On behalf of the family, thank you for being here. Thank you to the staff of Homewood who are here and for the lovely care and attention that they gave. And to those of you who have supported Nora throughout her life, thank you. It's lovely to see so many of you here today. Her walk was marked by a growing, developing confidence in the Lord. She was a person who was truly open to God, and especially a lady of prayer. It sustained her throughout her life. She was brought up in the Methodist tradition, and she shared that faith as a Methodist with her husband Ian. Some of you will not know this, but when Ian died some 40 years ago, in his will he left a letter, and in this letter he spoke to Nora, and he spoke to her about their shared faith and their experience. He spoke about the Christian faith as the foundation for their marriage. He spoke about the importance of prayer as they prayed and followed the Lord together. He laid that foundation. And that letter that only came to light when Mum moved from the flat into Homewood, it was marking one of her books, and that letter has been rediscovered. I don't think it was known by other than perhaps Elizabeth, John, Kathleen and myself. Somebody may recall, but I don't think it was mentioned at Ian's funeral those 40 years ago. But the letter is extant, and it's a valuable reminder. As many things I hope will be a reminder to us all today of good things to do, how nice it is to write letters and to write a letter in that kind of way. Mum heard that letter on the last day of her life, and she said thank you again to God for her husband, Ian. She said thank you to the girls, and they returned their thanks to her. Mum's walk was a developing walk of faith. It was Elizabeth going away to college and coming back with an evangelical understanding of the faith that made a mark upon Mum. This was something new to her. She realised that faith was important, but now this evangelical dimension was brought into her life. And true to it, Mum became an evangelist, and it's lovely. I've lost where Jean is now, but there's one lady here whose life was changed through Mum's witness. It's tremendous when you can speak like that, isn't it? And to know that here is faith. Jean became a daughter in the Lord to Mum. Where are you, Jean? Where are you? I can't see you. It's awful. Here we are. Sorry, you're hiding behind you there. Okay. It's lovely to be able to say that. And Win Ollie in Adele House here, who was brought to faith. And Mum would go in and make sure she could feed and help in the feeding process so that Win could be fed physically but also spiritually, and brought to faith. The evangelist, but also the pastoral heart. The pastoral committee, Martin at Hagley, And Mum served on that and she worked on it. And she was very much part of that work, a pastoral heart and care for others, and a home and a life open to others, all sorts and conditions. I think there were one or two people that others struggled with, but Mum stayed open and faithful to them. And letter writing, this will come back once or twice, letter writing. We used to go on holiday with Mum, but we used to have one holiday as a family without Grandma, and that was in the October. But every Tuesday we looked for it, a letter from Grandma that would come regularly. We were a bit disappointed if it was late until Wednesday, but that was part of that growing awareness and care. The third step in Mum's life was seeking baptism, water baptism. And although many of the family, in fact, none of us were actually present when it actually happened, because it was at the end of a service and people were being baptized in water as a sign of their commitment to Jesus. And the minister, the preacher, anybody else? And Mum put her hand up. Well, maybe not literally a hand up, but she went forward. And there and then she was baptized. No problem about not having any change of clothes and all the rigmarole that we get into. And I speak as a Baptist minister, by the way, so I know what I'm talking about, I think. But Mum was there. She stepped forward and she was baptized. She sought baptism in the Spirit also. And she wanted a full-orbed experience of the Christian faith. Jesus as her Savior, the Holy Spirit as her guide, comfort, strengthener, the Father, heart of God. And Lorna, her niece. Where's Lorna? Lorna, yes. Lorna, you've written to us about the life of prayer and that Wednesday was the day when Mum prayed for you and the family. And was it one of your daughters? Well, who's going to pray for me on Wednesday now that Nora's gone? I'm going to miss out on this. What can be done? And the family now saying, well, we've got to step in. We've got to play our part. And no doubt there'll be others here who are saying, well, Nora prayed for me. She prayed for us in these ways. There's something missing. What's going to happen? I said the letter from Dad, from Ian, spoke about prayer and its importance in their life. That's the third step. The fourth step, I would want to speak about her walk in church life. We've seen it today. If this has been relayed to heaven, she'd be delighted, because she would rejoice in this, because this warmed her heart to see the creative side of music, the creative side of worship, the creative side of the people of God, rediscovering all Psalm 147 to 50. Read those psalms again. Loud clanging cymbals and drums. Mum had no problem. She loved to hear the noise. She loved it. Why? Because it's praise and worship and glory to her God. The Mission England choir. And she sat at the front where the action was. Bruce referred to it, spotted it. Mum wanted to be there where the action was. She was right in there. Her fifth step was a quick step, because she got on with it. It was lovely this morning at the cremation service. We started 5 minutes early. Never known that before in 40 years of ministry. Never started early at a cremation service, but we did for Mum. And that's in tune. That's right. That's the sort of thing that Mum would have appreciated. Get on with it. Why hang around? It's important. The people were there. We knew who was coming, so we got on with it. And she would have enjoyed that. This love of life. Swimming. Oh, she loved her swimming here at Bungay. Lovely to the ladies from the group who went swimming with her. But first into the sea, holidays at Lowestoft when it's a bit cold, holidays, it was always Grandma beat the youngsters every time. Yes, no, she was there first into the sea, no problem. Cycling till recently, walking, and you've got to say she walked, but it's at speed. She walked with her, or maybe it was Ian that walked so fast and she had to keep up with him, but she walked at speed, crosswords, reading, driving. Never the slowest. I think it's passed down the distaff side of the family as well, from what I know. But that was Grandma. She learnt late in life, but she drove and made up for it. And cricket. A very effective pull shot through the mid-wicket area. Very impressive. She was an all-rounder in absolutely every way. And the sixth and final step is the reminder that there's a love for the family and for others that's been there and in that sense continues. Many, and I mean many, of the letters that have been received in tribute speak about Mum's smile. And some of you remember this very specially. It was there on the last day. She smiled at all of us. She smiled in her own way. And those are memories that we can treasure and take with us. Many smiles. A love of the family, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, sons-in-law, grandchildren becoming Christians. All her grandchildren have followed the Lord Jesus. That was her great delight. And behind that, the fact that great-grandchildren are now believing and being baptized. There was a depth of knowledge that Mum had of people. She loved people. Their names, their birthdays, and significant events were never forgotten. Letter writing and prayer, keeping in touch. Oh, and by the way, the sewing. The last time she was with us, who'll do the sewing? Grandma's still doing the sewing. Who does the sewing next? My own daughter's asked that question as well as my wife. And I asked the question, who'll do the sewing in my home when Grandma's not there to come and do it? We wait till Grandma comes to do that. All part of an other-centered life. That's the way that she's lived, and we're grateful for that. It was at Kathleen's graduation some 40 years ago. It was the end of the ceremony. The congregation was standing, and the Chancellor of the University, the then young Duchess of Kent, was walking through the congregation, and she was turning to both sides of the congregation and acknowledging. And suddenly there came a big smile on her face as she caught Mum's smile, and the two of them met in the most beautiful smile. It was lovely. I was the one next, I was the only one that was aware of it, obviously, because Ian's not here now. But there was something very special about that. But just take that on a step. And the smile of welcome from Jesus to Mum in heaven. That is worth it, isn't it? And her smile back to Jesus. That's the heart of our faith. We said a letter had been discovered. Something else has been discovered. I only saw this, I think, yesterday. It seemed a long time ago now. But here are some words, prophetic words spoken to Nora, I believe at Quiet Waters, spoken by, I do not know who, somebody may know who, I'd be interested to know if anybody does recognize it or know of the event. But I will read these words, I'll read them twice, because they are prophetic words into her life. And I believe that they have been fully and truly fulfilled in her life. And they're a challenge to us as to how we should live. This is God, I believe, speaking through a human being using the means of prophetic ministry, prophetic prayer. God said, be light in the darkness, share my love, glorify my name, proclaim me to all you meet, and share my gifts with those whom you serve for my eternal glory to all. We want to say thank you to God for his love. We want to say thank you to God for his love for Nora. We want to say to Mum, thank you for your love for us. Because these words, perfectly fulfilled, I read them for the second and final time. God said, be light in the darkness, share my love, glorify my name, proclaim me to all you meet, and share my gifts with those whom you serve, for my eternal glory to all. Amen.
A few weeks ago, the family were gathered together. I think it might have been at Elizabeth's. Nora was there. And all the children were, well, they were singing some songs, and the children were running around holding up little flags and dancing and marching to the music. So when we move into the next song and the children come out with little red flags, you know that this is for Nora. All right?
Thank you. Some words of Paul to the Roman Christians, more than conquerors. And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that they might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, conquerors through him that loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, not any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I've got a story for the children.
How's our technology going? It's all right, is it? Okay.
Got a story for the children. A long, long time ago, there was a pond. It was a lovely little pond with water lilies on the top and little dragonflies buzzing around the top, around this water, and frogs that sat there doing what frogs do best, nothing. And down in the bottom of the pond was a whole series of little water bugs scurrying around the bottom of the pond, doing what water bugs do, scurrying around the bottom of the pond, digging down into the mud, looking for the little things that water bugs eat that nobody else can see, and having a wonderful, wonderful time. Every now and then, they noticed that one of the water bugs would go over to the lily and would climb up the lily stalk. And they'd go out of sight, and they'd disappear, and they'd never get seen again. And they wondered about this. One day, one of the water bugs climbed up the stalk and disappeared. Couple of them noticed her go, and they thought, what's the matter? Wasn't she happy here? Didn't she like the place? Weren't we nice to her? They said, yeah, we were nice to her. Everything was all right. She just one day climbed up the stalk and disappeared. I wonder where they go, said one of the little water bugs. Everybody sort of looked at each other and said, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what, said the little water bug. The next time one of us climbs up that stalk, we've all got to make a solemn promise that we'll come back and say where we've been. And they all crossed their little feelers and said, cross my feeler and hope to die. And away they went, scurrying around the bottom of the pond, digging down in the mud, eating the things that water bugs eat. It was just a day later, and the little water bug, the one who'd said, I wonder where they all go, found himself wandering over to the bottom of the stalk that goes up and climbing up the stalk, almost like sort of in a dream. And he climbed up and up the stalk
suddenly he broke the surface of the water. And with a bit of a fright, he thumped down onto the lily pad. Gosh, this is different. And the sun was shining and he felt very sleepy, so he curled himself up into a little ball in a nice warm part of the leaf and went to sleep. When he woke up, he felt strange. Strange. Felt really strange. And he crawled over to the edge of the leaf and looked in the water. Something had happened. He had these great long things and he stretched them out. Way out. They were wings. Little furry wings, and he shook them in the sun. Little droplets of water flew off them. And he started to flap them around. And the next thing, as he started to dry off with the sun on him, he lifted up into the air. Never done this before. And up in the air, and he looked around, and he realised he was a dragonfly. He'd become a dragonfly. He'd turned from one of those little water bugs into a dragonfly. And he swooped, and he dived, and he spun, and he did loop the loops and rolled around, and it was wonderful. He thought, this is just great. And down through the water, way down the bottom of the pond, guess what he saw? Little water bugs scurrying around down the bottom of the pond, digging in the mud, doing the things that water bugs do, finding the little things to eat that nobody else can see. And he remembered, he thought, I promised I'd go back and tell them. I've got to go back and tell them. So he dived for the pond. And he bounced off the water. Because he was a dragonfly now, and he could never go back to being a water bug again. He thought, well, I can't go back, and where I am is really, really, really fantastic. But I tried to keep my promise. I know what I'll do. I'll wait here, and then one day they'll all become dragonflies too, and we'll all be together again. And off he flew into the wild blue yonder, having the wonderful time that dragonflies have. Well, poor little water bugs, of course, he just disappeared and gone. But for him, life was wonderful. Now it's a story. Lovely little story. And of course it's true, isn't it? Because that is what happens to the little water bugs. They become dragonflies. They never go back to being water bugs again. Well, people, their bodies get old and they get tired of being the way they are. And people have to let them go. And there comes a time when we have to let these bodies go and we have to become something different. We have to become what God makes us into when we stop being people with our feet on the ground. A bit like the water bugs and the dragonflies. And that's what happened to Nora. Her old body got tired of being just a human being and it slowed down and it stopped and she left it. And she's with God. What I've got for you, I'm going to have a word to the adults in a minute, and I'm going to make some word pictures for them, not pictures up there. Could I have a little prayer with the children before we play with all those things, do you think? I'm just going to have a little prayer with you before we come in. Our lives do have a purpose. Back in the beginning, we're told that God's purpose is for us to look after this planet and to look after each other, to look after the soil, to enjoy the companionship of God who's always near to us. In that beautiful pictorial language of the early books of the Bible,
God walks with man in the cool of the evening in the garden. I've heard people say that all things work together for good, but it's not true. The quote that it's taken from is out of the Bible, where it says, "All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to God's purpose." God has a way of taking the worst experiences of human existence and, by the grace and the love of the Spirit, working through faithful people, bringing good things out of what would have otherwise been unmitigated disasters. We're here today because Jesus died. And inevitably that hurts. And you'll miss her, and you'll miss her smile. You'll miss her cheerful voice. "Oh, just ticking over," she used to say. You'll miss the touch and the humour and the enthusiasm and all the things you did with her, and that's real, and it's part of being human. It's part of loving. It's part of delighting in each other. And if we had no hope beyond this, then death for us would hold nothing but sadness and nothing but loss. But when we understand that this is only the end of what we can see, when we understand that it's only the end of what we can experience, and we know that Nora's alive in the presence of God, and we know that we too are there with her in a sense, that there's more than just death and oblivion at this point. When we know those kind of things, our lives have a different sort of purpose to if we think that this is just the end of everything. Our lives do have a purpose. We're here for more than just looking after each other and looking after the planet until we become redundant. Because God also gives us our life as one way of building a relationship with God. And whatever lies beyond this experience of mortal existence, while we have it, we've got an opportunity to build that relationship with God. And when all this mortal fabric is no more, when it has become redundant, and that relationship is all that we've got, we begin to understand that life has a purpose beyond the physical, beyond even what we can achieve here in concert with God. Our lives have purpose. It was around the turn of the century, an American Presbyterian minister, a fellow called Fred Buchner, once remarked, "The life I touch, for good or ill, will touch another life, and that in turn another, until who knows where the trembling stops or in what far place my touch will be felt." We've got no idea what the effect of our lives are going to have. But we do know that if we're listening for the gentle and the subtle promptings of the Holy Spirit, there will be effects that we have no idea of that stretch beyond our reckoning and beyond our sight. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to God's purpose. Nora's life had a purpose. I see it in her family. I see it in the love spread so wide because of her. I see it in the love that her church family that are here today hold for her. I see it in the way her wisdom and gracious has blessed so many of us. I see that purpose in the folks she's brought to this church in the short time that I've been here these last 5 years. I've seen that purpose in the time she said some little thing to me that's encouraged me in my life and in my faith. I see that purpose celebrated in our shared faith as we find the sorrow of her dying recalibrated by the joy of who she's been and the shared belief that she's now in heaven with God, and she'll be terribly glad to get rid of those sore feet. The delight in what she's left for all of us, but most especially for you, her family. And some of that was here this morning and this afternoon in that wonderful music. In the kiddies running around with the flags. and the faith that you so delight in amongst the members of your family. I've heard your love for her. I've heard about her delight in the children. Seen it in their running around waving flags. May they and may we forever march in the light of God, and in doing this find ourselves in step with this wonderful little lady who's always going to be a giant of faith in my memory, in my experience, and whose life worked out the purposes of God in her daily living. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for Nora. You gave her the gift of life that she's used so well, and then through her faith in you walked the long journey of life with her God, who's moulded her more and more into your own likeness, and now she's at one with you, and we're glad even though we miss her. We're glad that she's more than conqueror through him who loved us and gave his life for us. And we're glad that nothing, certainly not death, can separate us from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're glad that Nora is now immersed fully in that love. May your spirit be very close to her family. And in those moments when they miss her most, remind them that she's with you and you're with them and she's not far away. Bless and guide them all ever closer to you, who hold our beloved Nora and us in your own eternal love. Amen. We're going to stand and sing the hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in My Saviour's Blood?"
Thank you.
The peace of God be with you. The presence of God be with you. The love of God envelop you and hold you and all you love eternally. Amen and amen.